Our first reading tonight comes from the Psalms, Psalm 51, 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, God, according to your faithful love. Wipe away my wrongdoings according to your great compassion. Wash me completely clean of my guilt. Purify me from my sin, because I know my wrongdoings. My sin is always right in front of me. I've sinned against you, you alone. I've committed evil in your sight. That's why you are justified when you render your verdict, completely correct when you issue your judgment. Yes, I was born in guilt and sin from the moment my mother conceived me. And yes, you want truth in the most hidden places. You teach me wisdom in the most secret space. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and celebration again. Let the bones you crushed rejoice once more. Hide your face from my sins. Wipe away all my guilty deeds. Create a clean heart for me, God. Put a new, faithful spirit deep inside me. Please don't throw me out of your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Return the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach wrongdoers your ways and sinners will come back to you. Deliver me from violence, God, God of my salvation, so that my tongue can sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. You don't want sacrifices. If I gave an eternity entirely burned offerings, you wouldn't be pleased. A broken spirit is my sacrifice, God. You won't despise a heart, God, that is broken and crushed. Our second reading tonight comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 6:10. We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Since we work together with him, we are also begging you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He says, I listened to you at the right time, and I helped you on the day of salvation. Look, now is the right time. Look, now is the day of salvation. We don't give anyone any reason to be offended about anything so that our ministry won't be criticized. Instead, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in every way. We did this with our great endurance through problems, disasters, and stressful situations. We went through beatings, imprisonments, and riots. We experienced hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. We displayed purity, knowledge, patience, and generosity. We served with the Holy Spirit, genuine love. Telling the truth and God's power, we carried the weapons of righteousness in our right hand and our left hand. We were treated with honor and dishonor and with verbal abuse and good evaluation. We were seen as both fake and real, as unknown and well-known, and as dying. And look, we are alive. We were seen as punished but not killed, as going through pain but always happy, as poor but making many rich, and as having nothing but owning everything. Here ends the reading of our Bible lessons for tonight. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come to you tonight, preparing ourselves for the next 40 days. And we ask that we think about ourselves from where we came from the dust of the earth. And as we return to that dust, we ask that you give us the grace and the possibility of everlasting love, which is given through you and through your Son. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I know for many of you, tonight might seem familiar. We have all been here numerous times before. What we do here tonight might seem comfortable. It is almost the sense of being at home, and that is important. It gives us a good starting place for the next 40 days ahead, which is this: an invitation to walk the path we have all walked before, coming together as a church and as a community of believers. So why do we do this? To answer that question is simple yet hard. Lent is a journey. It is a path of discipleship. It is about growth. It is about a deeper faith. It is about climbing higher. It is about reaching further than we have ever done before. Lent is about introspection, but at the same time, a call to action. One where we seek to be the pilgrim people before God. We are seeking to see God's kingdom. We are looking to shape that kingdom in worship and in service. It is, in fact, a time to experience this sense of renewal, one that comes from God's mercy as we walk with Jesus on our journey to new life. That is our goal as we start these 40 days. That is what we are called to do. With any good goal, we just need to start. We made it through another year. Week after week, we have come to church, we have worshiped, we have been transformed. But tonight might be different. Maybe you have all this stuff that is pent up inside. You are sick and tired of what has happened over the past year, and you are just looking for a new start. Your heart is troubled. And while thinking about all of this, maybe it has nothing to do with you. Maybe it is just the brokenness of the world. We have seen how messy the world can be, and we have all taken some part in that brokenness. That is why we are here tonight on this Ash Wednesday. We are here seeking a fresh start. And if not that, maybe just a simple reminder that fresh starts are possible. I do think that Ash Wednesday has lost some of its importance. I remember people being proud of wearing their ashes on their forehead. I remember some people having a difficult time washing them off, seeing this ash shadow the day after. And for me, that shadow, it was never funny. Rather, it is a reminder of what today is about, because there is solemnness. There is a reminder that we are all mortal, a reminder that we all sin, and those words can be hard to hear. But those same words just aren't given to beat down our emotion or to make us feel like we are less than. No, because the words given to us tonight from the psalm, woven in are also words of hope and words of possible redemption. And here's what the psalmist says: "Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, O God." A prayer that each one of us here have prayed numerous times throughout our lives. We do that because we recognize that we are not perfect. We recognize that we sin. We see how those things damage our relationships. Even though the psalmist says this, "Against you, you alone have I sinned." We all understand that is more complex than that. I think of this saying that I've said and heard numerous times throughout my life: as long as nobody else gets hurt. A misunderstanding that is interwoven in the human nature of community. Friends, here's what I'm saying. You may think that personal sin does not hurt anyone but you. The truth is this: it does erode community in significant ways. All that is why we're here tonight. We are here to acknowledge that we are human. We are here to pledge to join together in the Lenten journey of faith. Did you hear me? Join together. Yes, Lent is both individual and corporate. It is also a commitment to building up the body, and both are important in the Lenten experience. On the personal side, there is this individual commitment to new ways of living, a different way of calming or claiming your salvation, a better way of accepting the forgiveness of sins, and a faithful way of joining together in fellowship with God and community. It is one of the reasons we come together beforehand. The fellowship is an important piece of all of this. It gives each one of us the opportunity to see our personal response to God being worked out in the wider body of the church. And when we leave here to the world and beyond, create in me a clean heart, the psalmist tells us. Then I will teach my transgressors your ways and invite sinners, all of us, to return to God, our salvation, our covenant with God. It has never been about the individual. What it has been about is this, how that individual ripples out to the work with the Holy Spirit for the transformation of the world, also known as being a disciple. If you remember our second reading from 2 Corinthians, it told us this, be reconciled with God. This is more than just Paul pleading. It is more about how reconciliation impacts the world around us. In this list, Paul talks about how he has suffered for the gospel, but then instantly turns into something else, an attitude check, giving us this measuring rod of faithfulness in a difficult world. The reason I bring this up is because when we begin living a life that is not about us and rather about those around us, that is when the gospel life begins. We are supposed to model how a clean heart is lived out day by day, and when we should do it with intentionality. So today, I call each one of us into action. I invite each one of us to walk the road that leads to new life, not for our own personal sake, but rather for the sake of the world. And there is only one way of doing that. It is when we do it as a community, one that walks together, one that surrounds those who feel like they are on the margins, and one that works together. The weight of the world is too much for any of us to shoulder alone. So tonight, let's clean our hearts. Let's become right with the Spirit. And let's come together and find what is new in the kingdom. It is why we are here. Amen.